Well, welcome everyone to another Tech Doctor podcast. I'm Robert, one of the Tech Doctors, and of course the other Tech Doctor, Allison Hartley, is here as well. How are you today, Allison?
I'm doing well on a rather brisk, cool morning in Northern California. It's supposed to get warmer today, but I don't know if I believe it.
Well, you'll find out. You're up
yep.
so early. It's 11 for me, but only 9 for you.
Only 9 for me, yeah.
Wow, you got a whole day ahead of you.
I do. I don't know. I don't hardly know what to do with myself.
Well, I bet you'll figure it out.
I bet I will.
Are plenty of things one can do, especially during these months of September and October when we have new iOS 11, tvOS, is it 3 or 4?
It's tvOS 11, especially on the new Apple TV. That's all you get. Yeah.
So it's called OS 11 for TV also, huh?
Yeah, and then the watch is watchOS 4.
Well, I'm having trouble keeping all these numbers straight. So I'm glad.
I know, it's crazy.
I'm glad you're here to tell me the truth of it all.
I always try to tell the truth.
I know that. You always tell the truth. That's a good thing. So anyway, we have begun this long-awaited process of installing all these new operating systems, and I guess on Tuesday, last Tuesday, as of the time of this recording, a little less than a week ago, iOS 11 was released, and for me, that was almost a non-event in terms of installing it goes. It was very, very smooth this time. I've done it now on my phone, on Vicky's phone, and on her iPad, and it seems like it's gotten a lot easier somehow. How about for you?
Yeah, I just did the over-the-air. I actually did it a little bit early. I did the Gold Master because I am a developer, and I hadn't really had a lot of time with my work and everything for much beta testing during the actual beta cycle, but I installed it a week or so early when the Gold Master hit because I was going to be traveling on the 19th. So yeah, it was fine. It didn't take hardly any time at all.
How do you like it so far?
You know, I know people talk a lot about bugs, as usual, when these 0.0 operating systems hit. I am not having that bad of a time. The only thing is in Mail, the actions rotor is a little bit strange in Mail. I can't always get it to reset to activate. So I found myself inadvertently deleting a couple of messages that I needed, but I can shake to undo to undo the delete. So there's that little bug is plaguing me. I find that sometimes when I'm going into the notification center, focus is put somewhere in the middle of all my notifications, not necessarily anywhere near the top. So that takes a little bit of scrolling about, but I don't know. I mean, it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I'm not really having any problems with it. I've noticed the same things that you've noticed about Mail. And sadly, I did accidentally delete a message from one of our Tech Doctor listeners who had written us, and I have been unable to get it back. It's not in my trash.
Oh.
It's
it
seems to not be anywhere. So I don't even know who it was from. So that listener, if you happen to hear this and you didn't get a response back from me that with whatever you asked, or whatever you commented on, please send it again.
Yeah.
Because you are, at this moment, a casualty of iOS 11, unfortunately.
11. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you just have to be careful in Mail to make sure that when you're using the action rotor, that the focus is really on what you want it to be on.
Mm-hmm.
I think we used to be able to count on, even if we had deleted a message and you move to the next message, you could count on double tapping and that would automatically open the message. But now it might just as well delete that message.
Delete it, yeah. I just always make sure I'm still in the actions rotor and then I just flick up and down to see where I am. It makes it a little bit more time consuming, but it keeps me from inadvertently deleting messages. So hopefully they'll fix that in 11.01.
I, like you, am fine with the control center, and I'm okay with the notifications. I mean, they're both a little bit different than they were, but I don't notice huge difference with VoiceOver. There's a little more information. It seems like in the control center, you have to bypass the music playing controls to get to some things like do not disturb and things like that.
Yeah.
Not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. I can't really say that I think it's a whole lot better, nor do I really think it's any worse. It's just a little different.
Yeah, I like that there are a lot more, seem to be a lot more customization options. So I do have in there, I have an Apple TV remote, which I don't know if I'll use. I took some things out that were customizable. So that's interesting. I think the control center, once I get used to it, the things that you have to 3D touch on to get more options and everything, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we'll end up liking it. It is kind of interesting that you can customize it now as much as you can. It's a little bit frustrating, I think, that at least as far as I know, the customized options are always below the required default options. And so they're a little bit of a pain to get to with VoiceOver.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling would be if they're default options, why even include them in the list?
Maybe there will be a little bit of cleanup there. But in terms of this being a solid release, at least for me, I haven't experienced nearly the kind of bugs that we have experienced at times with other 0.0 iOS releases. I mean, I remember some where there were some serious, serious focus issues, and I haven't seen that this time, although focus does seem a little odd in some cases. I've opened a folder and been at the last app in the folder instead of the first app.
I'm not
quite sure why.
Some
little things like that, but I'm really happy with it so far.
Me too. I notice when I'm doing a magic tap sometimes, if I'm on the lock screen and I'm doing a magic tap to play or pause audio, it will say notifications. It doesn't actually take me into the notification center. It just randomly says notifications. So oh. I don't know what that's about. But yeah, I've been very pleased with this release. I know some people are hesitant to upgrade, and if you are somebody who is going to be really frustrated by the mail bug, I might hold off. But if you can live with it, I think iOS 11 is perfectly fine. Now there are Braille overall has improved. I have to hook up my Vario. I have to admit I use my Vario a lot in standalone mode rather than using it with the phone a lot, but Braille overall has apparently improved. And some folks are talking about some Braille bugs as well.
Yeah, the main one I've heard about is people say that if you do a lot of writing, say in the Notes app, that eventually the system will get really sluggish and get behind, especially after you've written a reasonably lengthy document. And so that's the biggest one that I've heard about. I don't use Braille that way very much. I don't really go into the Notes app and write from my Braille keyboard, so it's not a big deal for me, but I could sure see how it would be for people who like to work that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have a Braille display that has a built-in note taker, so if I want to write in Braille, then I use that. But I don't use Braille with iOS as much as I thought I would. Mm. If I'm doing a lot of writing, I use either a Bluetooth keyboard or I use the on-screen keyboard or dictate for shorter things. And if I'm reading, I'm usually reading with VoiceOver.
Yeah, where I use Braille with iOS is if I'm in a meeting and I want to check my message or need to look at something on a website or something like that, then it's really nice to be able to silently do that using a Braille display and connect it to the phone.
Yeah.
So it certainly has its pros and cons. And I know that overall, except for this one bug that I just mentioned, mostly there are improvements to Braille.
A lot of improvements to the extent that it's really a viable solution now for students with the Braille translation errors being fixed and everything.
Yep, I think it was a real move in a positive direction, and I agree with you. If you're worried about the little bugs, I don't see any of them right now. Honestly, for me at least, aren't really showstoppers, but they can be annoyances.
Yeah,
you might want to wait till the 01 or O2 or release, because a lot of things usually do get cleaned up. I do know that a lot of work was done this summer on accessibility, and a lot of bugs were resolved before the release, but they didn't get quite everything.
No, and they never do. I mean, and there are bugs for sighted people too. That's what we always have to remember when we're using mainstream technology, that bugs, you know, aren't specific only to blind folks.
Exactly. But anyway, so iOS 11 for me is going well so far. I'm enjoying it. There are some new accessibility options for VoiceOver. Nothing hugely major, but you do have more control now over the level of punctuation. You have the ability to specify how caps are being identified, either with pitch or the word caps or with a sound. Same goes for a couple of other items as well. Like I said, nothing major, but there are some new tweaks in there that just make VoiceOver a bit more customizable. I don't know if you mess with any of those or not, but it's nice that they're there.
Yeah, I like it. I actually turned off for now the setting that updates dynamic text. So sometimes when I would get notifications, if I had my Beats 3 headphones on and I would get notifications and I was playing something, it would say track position, blah, 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 track position, blah, 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 track position. Now, that would, I think, be solved because the track position has moved in iOS 11, but I turned off the updating of dynamic text until I actually moved to it. I may turn that back on depending on what I'm doing, but for now I like that option.
Yeah, I haven't seen that problem, so maybe it's been resolved. It's so interesting how at this point there are just so many little things that have changed. Nothing hugely major, but it's always interesting to discover this or that thing is just a little different. So I think it's everybody's individual decision, but if you don't mind being a little bit on the beginning edge of iOS 11 with some of the things we've mentioned, I certainly don't see any reason not to update to it. And any more, you know, it's such a dilemma because they always implement so many new security patches that it's almost, in my mind at least, better to update and deal with a few annoyances than to be running a less secure operating system. So it's a bit of a tough call sometimes.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And I just want to say that I learned a lot about all the different changes, and there are more than you think for the better by reading of the book of my friend Jonathan Mosen, iOS 11 Without the Eye. And you can get that from Mosen.org for $20.
Yeah, I read it too. It is one of the real VoiceOver resources that is always available by Jonathan on day one. And he does a really nice job with it.
He does.
I noticed that, you know, some of the chapters are pretty short. I'm not complaining about that. It's nice because he just this time has really focused, I think, on trying to give people exactly what you need to know about the new Notification Center, about the new Files app, about some of the things that are not, there's not a huge amount to say about them, but he goes through and lets you know essentially how to use them with VoiceOver. So kudos to Jonathan for yet again another good job on this book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and while we're mentioning things that have happened, we got a really nice shout out from Wade Wingler, who does an assistive technology update, a weekly podcast.
Oh, yes, I love the assistive technology update. Yeah,
he gave us a really nice shout out for the Tech Doctor podcast we did last week, just after the big event. So it's Wade's podcast is a really excellent one. Also, I'll put a link to assistive technology update in the show notes.
So yeah, wow, that's amazing. Hi, Wade, we love you.
yeah. Thanks for that shout out. So, what about TV OS? I know I haven't updated my Apple TV yet, nor have I purchased the new one, but I suspect you may know a bit more about all that than I do.
I have kind of by necessity dove headfirst into tvOS 11 because I did purchase the new Apple TV. I had a few mishaps during setup, I have to say. Part of it was my fault because I have this little 10 DAC audio converter that I hook up to a pair of speakers, and I use my Apple TV that way. Now I have my Beats headphones connected too, but initially I started with just hooked up to a pair of speakers. It kind of fools the Apple TV into thinking that there's an HDMI without having to use a TV. But I forgot there's only one HDMI port on there. There's two, but there's one that actually works. The one that is by the where you plug in the micro USB for power. If you put it in the other one, you won't get any sound. So initially I put it in the wrong one and I'm like, why isn't VoiceOver coming up? I don't understand. So then I switched it and it was fine. But the only thing I noticed that was weird was you had to pair a remote, and it was telling you in all the different languages, pair your remote like it does during initial setup. It kept saying, click the trackpad to pair your remote. Well, I kept clicking the trackpad to pair my remote and I heard thunk, thunk. Thunk. I'm like, why isn't this working? I know it's clicking. So I ended up having to use the rotor and go into direct touch and then touch the trackpad. And then it paired the remote and went through the rest of the setup process very easily. I was able to put my phone near the device and complete setup that way. And that was very easy. I love the new Apple TV remote because although I can usually tell the difference between the top and the bottom has the glass and the top has where the trackpad is. Occasionally I would flip it around and be trying to use the glass surface when I needed the trackpad. But now the menu button on the new Apple TV remote has a nice circle around it, a very nice raised tactile circle. So I just feel for that circle and I always know that when that's facing up, that my Apple TV's remote is in the right orientation. I was able to go into the App Store and get Netflix, which is mainly the only app I use really on the Apple TV.
It's the most accessible one in terms of the audio description and all.
It is. The only thing that was weird when I launched the newest Netflix was that I had to push the menu button. It puts you briefly in the area where it has search and categories, but it took me right into an area of recommendations. And there wasn't really an easy way to get out of that area of recommendations, but I hit the menu button on the Apple TV remote, and then I was in the area with search and categories and everything. And of course, I was up late because I was like, well, let's test it just to make sure that audio description works. And I started watching this TV show called The Last Kingdom on Netflix that has audio. And it's incredible. I highly recommend it. It's about the founding of England in the 9th and 10th centuries and in the fighting with the Vikings. And it's very violent, but it's really, really good.
I think Vicky might be watching that, or at least she mentioned it.
Yeah, it's really good. And I was, you know, listening to it on my Beats headphones, and that just made it even. These Beats Solo 3 headphones, I know we're getting off topic, but they're the best investment I've ever made. They're expensive, but they're worth it.
Wow, don't you have the life, the new Apple TV, the Beats headphones, and you just sit back and enjoy a show from England? Man, that's pretty crazy, huh?
I tell you, it's a pretty amazing time to be alive.
It is indeed. Well, it sounds like it was a little bit frustrating to get some of it working for at least a moment or two, but you got it all going.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say in terms of little voiceover annoyances in tvOS 11 is when you're going into the app switcher, it used to be that you could do one counterclockwise turn of the rotor when you were in the focus of an app that you wanted to close and you would go immediately to actions. I find that I have to spin around a lot more on the rotor to get to actions each time. So focus in the rotor, particularly in the app switcher, is a little strange. In terms of navigation now, you have what's called vertical navigation and then you have direct touch. Aside from the one time when I really needed it, I wish I could take direct touch out of the rotor because I don't find that I really use it. It's going fine with the new vertical navigation option. You can, of course, navigate vertically and horizontally, so it's a bit of a misnomer, actually, calling it vertical navigation.
They call it that because the theory is if you flick down, you should stay in the same column.
But you don't always.
Okay,
that's the thing. Yeah.
Okay, but wow, so sounds like it's perfectly accessible, but there are a few oddities there.
Yeah, just a few, but definitely accessible. In terms of reasons to upgrade, I mean, my reasons are always the security updates. I haven't found anything really new in terms of features in tvOS 11 that would make it something that you would necessarily have to upgrade to right away. But again, it's an internet device. So anytime you're putting something on the internet, I think it behooves you to have the latest operating system.
Yep, I agree with that. I'm going to update mine as soon as I can get around to it. So many updates, so little time.
So many, yeah.
But that's how it is. It's amazing how we end up with the operating, you know, iOS update, tvOS update, watchOS update. Soon we'll have High Sierra update. I mean, wow, they just happen all of a sudden. In the rest of the year, there's not nearly
there's
as much.
Very little, yeah.
Then you just do minor updates to the major updates during the rest of the year. But right now, yeah. You kind of got to hold your breath, push the button, let it reinstall the firmware, and hope for the best. And I would say that Apple has done a really nice job of amazingly error-free updating these days. We can't promise that for everyone, but I just don't hear very many problems anymore.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I've never had major problems with the updates themselves. There were a few OS X updates where I couldn't get VoiceOver to speak during the update itself, but that has been better recently. Although with the new Mac, I don't know if it's still that you have to have a hardware keyboard to get VoiceOver speech during setup, or but honestly, if you just sit back, eventually it comes back. So I don't really see that being a showstopper.
In addition to the iOS 11 and the TV update, we also both got some new hardware with the new Apple Watch Series 3. How's that going for you?
I like it. I've just completed the most basic of setups so far, but it was very easy to go in and set it up. I always, for my watch, for some reason, I wanted to start it new, so because I knew that most relevant health data would sync back, because I knew the LTE was gonna be a sign up process. That was very easy, getting the LTE on my watch. In fact, I got free 3 months with T-Mobile, and then it'll be like I think $10 a month after to have it on my watch. And they gave it another number, but it says, don't worry, you'll be able to want to use it with your regular number. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I had the same experience with AT&T. It was easy to do. You do have to go fill out a form, which you go to right on the setup page in the iPhone under the watch mm-hmm. app. And it was easy to do. It just took a little while. I had to log into my AT&T account and then add the new device to my plan. And I'm not quite sure though if I got the free 3 months thing or not. I'm not sure if AT&T is doing that, because it was kind of odd. It said $10 a month, but then it said additional charge on the next bill, zero. So huh. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, T-Mobile is interesting because it said it was $15 a month, but then we get a discount for auto pay. So I'm assuming that it will be somewhere around the 10-ish mark. Honestly, though, T-Mobile is so inexpensive that even if it was $15, it wouldn't break the bank, because they're very reasonable with their prices for unlimited everything.
Well, that's good. So I've got LTE running on my watch, but I haven't actually done anything with it. Have you?
No, neither have I. I haven't. I set it up last night. I usually set these things up as soon as I get them, but on Friday I was battling with a cold, so I left it all to Saturday.
Yeah.
But no, I have not played with the LTE. Everything seems to be running a lot faster. The setup process went a lot faster. I think this is going to be the watch that we've always wanted, I think.
Yeah, it was amazing how much faster it sets up and actually runs when you're using it. So, because I had the experience of, after I got done setting my new one up, of setting up my Series 0 for Vicky on her phone, and it mm-hmm. was amazing how much slower it was. And I don't know whether she will actually enjoy using it or not. since it is as slow as it is. But she's never had an Apple Watch, so she at least wanted to give it a try and see whether she likes it or not. So
that'll sure
give her a chance to, you know, see whether she's even interested in wearing a watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if she ends up ultimately going for a Series 3 or maybe the cheaper Series 1.
It will be.
Yeah. And I detached my Milanese loop from my old watch and put it safely away for when I want it for more dressy occasions. But I got, for every day, I got a sports loop with my new watch. And I like it because it feels kind of Velcro-y, but you just attach it and it has the little plastic, I think what's meant to be the magnet, although I don't think it's magnetic, but you attach it, you know, similar to the Milanese loop, because it's a little Velcro-y, you have to sort of place it a little more precisely. So I may end up going back to the Milanese loop full time. I may not, but I think for exercising, the sports loop will be nice, and it's pretty easy to put on.
Yeah, I got one of those sports loops also, and I like it a lot. It's very comfortable. And
it is.
Yeah, the Velcro is a little bit, takes just a bit of getting used to, because I don't know why I'm this way, and I hate to have to admit this to the entire world, but it's really important to me that the band, that both sides of the band be exactly properly lined up.
Yes. Yep. No, I hear you.
And so it's taken me just a little bit of practice to get good at getting it lined up before the Velcro sticks it in place, but it works fine.
Yeah, and the Velcro has to be stuck just so. There can't be any like weird overlap. It has
No, it has it has to be just right. But it's a nice soft band. Of course, this is my first waterproof watch. I don't know if I have the courage to really go swimming with it or not, but it's nice that option is available.
Yeah, you got to put it in swim mode though, because I know a lot of people who have not done that and then their Apple watched it, or even who went in the shower without putting it in swim mode. Mm-hmm. And they've experienced issues. I personally just don't understand why I would have a need to wear my Apple watch in the shower, but you know, to each their own. So
yeah, I don't feel the need to do that either.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed, that at least for me, and again, I'm going from the Series 0, the very first one, up to Series 3. So this may be the reason, but I've noticed that the taptic feedback is a lot stronger on the Series 3 than it was on the Series 0. So I don't think you're going to miss any taps on your wrist anymore, at least not as strong as mine is. And the other thing I've noticed that I'm really happy about is that the taptic time that you can get by double tapping on the watch is much, much more reliable on Series 3 than it was on Series 0. I've had pretty much 100% success. If I single finger double tap on the screen of the watch, it'll vibrate the time for me.
Oh, good. It was fairly reliable on Series 2. Occasionally, it would still yell out the time, and I'd, what's the point of this? You
know? It only does that if you're in a meeting and you really don't want to disturb anyone.
Right. You really don't want anyone to know you're checking the time.
Exactly. That's when it will yell it out.
Yeah.
But that seems much more reliable. And I've got a chronic, persistent problem, though, and I don't know whether this happens to you ever, but, and it, perhaps I'm doing it wrong, but when I get a message, an iMessage on my watch, it automatically opens up a screen with a bunch of canned replies like okay or talk later or thank you, things mm-hmm. like that. Frequently, if I just double tap on one of those, it appears that reply gets sent, but it doesn't.
Oh, dear.
I go and look in the message app on my phone and nothing, you know, the last message is not my okay or thanks or whatever. It's the last message. It's just the message that the person sent to me that I theoretically was replying to. And that happens, probably a good 30-40% of the time for me. And I wonder if you've experienced that.
I haven't yet, and I didn't on my series two, but I'll definitely be looking out for that.
Anyway, I'm really happy with series three. I was worried a little bit about what the battery life would be like, but with my normal use of the watch, after I used it all day yesterday, when I finished at night and was ready to go to bed, I still had about 50% battery left.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I just always, the Series 2 was kind of like that too. I had a good bit. I probably could have used it for 2 days, but I always just charge it at night. It's just a habit.
So if you do have one of the earlier ones, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised if you decide to upgrade to Series 3 at how responsive it is, how fast it is. There are a couple of new watch faces in Watch OS 4. I haven't really played with them yet, so I can't really comment on their how well they work with VoiceOver, but there's nothing hugely different. I did notice, however, a change that I like, which is that if you are playing something on the phone, like a podcast or listening to some music or something, or an audiobook, your watch will automatically switch over to giving you access to the controls for that particular media.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know whether you've seen that or had that experience, but it does it for me every time. As soon as I start playing something, and if I tap to wake up the watch, it's already on the iPhone media control screen.
Interesting. I think that's new to Watch OS 4.
Or I think so.
If it was in 3, I don't remember it. Yeah.
No, I didn't do it in 3. It's new to OS 4, and it's actually nice. I mean, if you don't want that, you can just press the crown once and you go back to the regular watch face screen. Mm-hmm. But you can control the volume right there. You can pause, you can skip forward or backward right from that screen, and that's especially nice for those of who use the AirPods, because you have those controls right there on your watch. So
see, that's cool.
That. Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting and slightly different, I use tons of alarms and timers on the watch, and I almost always have my watch in silent mode. So these are silent alarms. They just tap you on the wrist when the alarms or the timers are going off. But now in Watch OS 4, it stays on the timer or alarm screen until you dismiss it. And that's new.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I think that, I don't know, it doesn't really matter that much to me, but at least you know then that your alarm has gone off. You can still dismiss it by simply muting it, by putting your hand over the watch face. That will mute the alarm or mute the timer. But now you have to dismiss the screen. And I think that's just as well.
I like that better, honestly. I find it, even on my phone when I have an alarm set, I like knowing that I've dismissed it rather than snoozing it.
Yeah, and I think the reason they did it that way is because you do have some choices on that screen, at least with an alarm. You can, if you've muted it, you can either choose to just outright dismiss it, or you can put it in a snooze mode at that point. So you have some choices, and I think that's why they did it like that. It's a good update, though. I'm excited to have the new software and the new Series 3 watch. I think, like you said, it's probably closer to the watch that we have wanted. There's a really great review of the Series 3 watch on iMore that Serenity Caldwell did, and so people might want to read that if you want more information. I see that the Apple manual for the watch, even though it has a copyright date of 2015, it's actually been updated with all the information about Series 3, and that's available through iBooks. I just did a search for Apple Watch and iBooks and came up with that manual. And so there's good information out there. And I'm just betting we're going to hear lots of podcasts from David Woodbridge on the new watch, the new Watch OS.
Oh, yeah, he's starting to crank them out, not on Watch OS specifically, but just in general, he's starting to do more. So that's exciting.
Yeah, we can count on David to give us demos of exactly how to do all these things. Is there anything else that you've got new at this point. I forgot how many devices you actually ordered the other day.
Just the watch and the TV for now, because I'm waiting for the iPhone 10. I'm sure we'll be talking again when the 10 comes out, if not before then.
I'm really hoping that both of us are able to have the good fortune of getting that iPhone 10 delivered on November 3rd. I believe it's 3rd.
November 3rd, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we're lucky enough to get in on that first round. I just don't know how busy it's going to be. It went really smoothly ordering the watch, but I think the iPhone 10 is going to be so much demand for it on that night. So
yeah, we shall hope. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes into 2018, which will be disappointing, but I'm going to try. I'm going to really try hard.
Yep. I've already got it set up in my favorites. You know, it's only a month away, you know.
I've got it set up in my favorites, but I want to get two. I want to get one for Jeremy too. And it's only showing the one from my line in my favorites. So hopefully when the actual order process is happening, I'll be able to add another one. I really hope so.
Yeah. I don't know how. Yeah, I've heard of people wanting to order two of them, and I'm not sure how people pull that off. You may have to get Jeremy up at midnight your time.
Yeah, he might have to order his own. I don't know.
He might have to order his own. And then and it'd be funny, you all would theoretically then be kind of in competition with each other.
Like, who's going to get their new phone, iPhone 10 sooner?
Yeah.
See, he doesn't care about it as much as if it was just him. I think he would just stay with his 7 Plus, but I'm kind of like, well, we may as well both upgrade.
So that's pretty much it. We won't ramble on and on about iOS 11, TV OS 11, Watch OS 4, and Series 3 Watch. Boy, we kind of covered what's new so far. Unfortunately, we can't tell you anything from personal experience about the iPhone 8 or the iPhone 8 Plus, because neither of us have one. So
no, but I'm hearing from voiceover user perspectives that it's a nice update, nice and snappy. So
I would think good. So, and it supposedly has a really nice speaker.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah, I think that there is a little bit of a demo of it just being set up on the most recent Jonathan Mosen podcast.
Yeah, on the Blind Side, he does a little bit of a comparison where he plays a song on Bonnie's old phone and then on the new one.
Yeah, so there are people getting them out there, and I think if you don't want, for whatever reason, the new technology yet in the iPhone 10, but you want to upgrade, I think the iPhone 8 would be a terrific upgrade at this point.
Yeah, I would go for it.
Why not? It's got almost all the same new technology that the 10 will have, with the exception of Face ID and a few differences in the camera and so forth. But in terms of processor and the basic technology, it's all there in the iPhone 8.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we just like to come on here once in a while and try to keep you updated on the experiences we're having with the new Apple stuff, because Vicky was saying the other day, she said, when something new from Apple comes in here, you're just so happy to get it and you just love the chance to set it up. And she's like, boy, that wouldn't be me. She's not, that doesn't float her boat, but you know, it's so much fun right now with the new things coming out.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, to kind of discover all the new little big features, I call them. Oh, the new Siri voice. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. I like the new Siri voice, but I've switched back to my English guy for now.
Oh, really?
It's not. Yeah, it's not so amazing that I felt like I could abandon him. So.
Yeah, I know how much you liked your English guy, so I can see how you would not necessarily want to leave him lonely out there without being your Siri.
Yeah.
I don't know how it worked for you, but for me on my phone, I think also on Vicky's phone, although I haven't double checked it, I don't think it automatically updated to the new female voice. I had to go in there and...
Yeah, I had to download it.
Get it to download.
Yeah.
So, but for some people I've heard, you know, I had a friend who updated her iPad and it did automatically switch to the new Siri voice. So I don't know what the difference is. Oh, well, there are a few mysteries in life and we can't explain them all, right?
That's true.
So it goes.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this podcast. We enjoyed doing it for you, and we'll be back soon with more because this is the season for sure. We got
it
a lot more products to go.
Yep.
So for now, this is Robert, one of the tech doctors, and I'll just say so long.
And this is Allison Hartley, the other tech doctor, saying bye, everyone.